Things are moving and shaking, man. We got just a ton of shit going on. I'm juggling like a circus clown these days. It's really...
Welcome to another episode of the Rogue Startups Podcast with Craig Hewitt and Dave Rodenbaugh. This is a podcast documenting the journey as self-funded business founders and sharing lessons, tips, and tricks for businesses following the same path as ours. The journey is long and winding, but we're glad you're joining us for it. And now it's time to go rogue with Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome to episode 95 of the Rogue Startups Podcast. Dave, how are you doing this week?
I'm good. I am loving that we are fully into summer. How about you?
Yeah, man, loving it. It's really a great time of year here, probably like you are in Denver. I mean, I think people really cherish the extreme seasons, and the middle times are kind of eh. But you know, skiing in the winter and hiking and rafting and being at the lake in the summer is what it's all about here. So yeah, people are loving life.
Yeah, it's gotten a little fever pitch in terms of activities. Like, I can always tell because I have an app on my phone that monitors traffic on the big highway that goes up into the mountains called I-70 here. And I'm getting alerts from it all the time on Sunday afternoons that are like, massive delays on I-70. You should leave now. Massive delays on I-70.
Yeah.
I'm like, yep, okay, summer traffic's here. Everybody's going to the mountains. There's definitely a frenzy.
Yeah, yeah. Do you guys do anything fun every year in the summer?
You know, we change it up. We try to go camping every year, so we've got a couple of trips on the docket already. We're going to go to some favorite spots up in the Central Mountains here in July. This coming weekend, we're actually going to go up to Lake Dillon, which is a big reservoir, you know, a couple hours outside of Denver. It's also Denver's main water supply. But you can do all kinds of recreation around it. It's a big, beautiful place. We got a condo up there for the weekend. So we're going to go hang out and go boating and do that. And we went to the Renaissance Festival, which comes to Denver for 8 weeks in June and July, and doesn't really come to Denver. It's south of Denver. So we went to that, took the kids to there for the first time, and they had an amazing time. So, yeah, we are taking full advantage of all of the great things that summer has to offer right now. I'm loving it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, similarly, we just bought I'm sure you've kind of heard or seen in Europe, everyone goes on vacation for like a month in the summer, right? So it's like...
And aren't they all going in August?
Yeah, so they all go in like late July and August. So we have about a month left to have like our friends around and everything, and then everyone leaves. So we're like, well, we should leave too. So we bought tickets last week. We're going to go to England, Ireland, and Scotland for about a month in the summer, which will be cool. So we just bought kind of our outbound ticket and meeting some family there and stuff. So it'd be interesting to travel that area in the summer, because it's really, last summer we were in Ireland in May, so it'll be cool to be there a little later in the summer and kind of check it out. Hopefully we don't get rained on.
Yeah, well, you never know.
Yeah, you never know there. I mean, it's crazy. But yeah, it's exciting times in the summer for sure.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So so what's going on with business, man? How are things?
Well, things are pretty good. It's actually been kind of a busy time. So there was a frenzy of updates going on with the plugins for a while. Actually, not the plugins, plural, the plugin business directory. So we sent out some emails about middle of May saying, hey, we're going to raise the support prices come July 1st. And I took the Nick Francis Help Scout email as sort of like the template, because he had this long, beautiful email about, hey, we're raising prices at Help Scout. Here's why. And, you know, the language and the tone and just everything about it really worked. And it sounded like when I heard people talking about it on social media that they were like, wow, this is an amazing letter. So I was like, all right, well, you know, I'm not an idiot. If somebody has already crafted something that beautiful, I'm going to take it and adapt it for my plugin. And sure enough, I took that, sent it out. I have had almost no backlash on this. And like, the only negative thing, I think I've heard two people say, yeah, we're just not renewing. But it wasn't like, you know, fuck you, Dave, you're an asshole. I can't believe you're a capitalist pig scum or something like that.
Right.
You know, that's totally what I was expecting.
That but, too, but at least they didn't say it, right?
Right, right. But like literally nobody came back to me and was pissed off or mad and just chewing me up and down for raising rates or whatever. In fact, a couple people were joking, ha ha, you know, I know you're raising rates because of me. And I was like, well, actually, yeah. Not really, not so bad. But there are other people we probably are raising rates because of them. And, you know, it just was just some work. Like Bobby was fully up to speed and trained. And so I just basically said, all right, here's what's going to happen. And she just started taking care of it. So we, you know, took care of getting everybody onto subscription plans and, you know, anybody who had renewed recently, we gave them refunds of their old one and we had them repurchase so they got back onto a subscription and they're all locking in their rates. We've answered questions. And for the most part, it's been pretty smooth. And then this week, we just sent out the price increase notification for everybody who's like signed up in the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
To say, hey, basically, if you want to buy, now's your time. And next week, we're sending one more on both of those to say, here's your last chance to renew. Here's your last chance to buy. July 1st, we raise the prices, and then we'll see how it goes. But, you know, that's 3 points of contact I've given both sets of customers. And for the most part, it's gone, you know, pretty well. And maybe on July 2nd, I get a lot of hate mail. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, and you can point back to all that you've done and say, look, I gave you this chance and this chance and this chance. Sorry, right?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I don't know if I said this in one of the previous podcasts, but I had somebody who already like who got the very first email and they had 6 weeks, 6 weeks to execute on this. And the first thing that out of their mouth was, hey, we're not going to buy right now. Can we get an extension on this until like late August?
Right.
I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No, six, you know, if you're going to do it, buy it now in your 6 week window. And if it's not working for you, that's fine. Get a refund. That'll give you another 2 weeks on top of it. But yeah, I'm not pushing this out to August. That's just not going to happen. So yeah, that's all been in process and it's consumed a fair amount of my time. And I've been watching my, you know, recurring revenue bit tick up in EDD, which is nice. And I fixed a couple of technical glitches and I think we've got that all on course now. So that's good. That's been pretty exciting. Nice. And yeah. So hopefully that actually increases the plugins revenue next year. At least according to other people that I've talked to who added this piece of it, their recurring or their renewal rates, I should say, went up from, you know, somewhere in the mid 20% up as high as 60. So
wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. That's big. I mean, right there, that's a big boost in revenue. So if I could take into my rates are in the mid 20s. So if I can basically double those rates, I'm doubling that chunk of my revenue. So that's just pure growth right there, which is awesome. And then I do a price increase on top of that. There's more growth. So you know, looking to actually get some revenue increase out of the plugins this year. And I'll let you know by the end of July, although July is probably going to be a weird month because I'm cannibalizing July sales right now, no doubt, from all the people that were maybe on the fence about it and weren't going to. Mm-hmm. Thing about it, you know, when price increases are always weird like that. Last time I had a big one like this, I pushed it really hard in January, and then February was like a shit month. I had was like 17,000 on one month, and then it was like 9 on the next month. I was like, ouch.
Yeah.
So yeah, it can just be super weird that way, and I expect I'll get some kind of weirdness out of it this way. But that's pretty good.
I mean, if you average it out, it sounds like it's going to be a net win for you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal here is to push everything up a little bit, reduce the support burden, and, you know, just make the plugins a little bit better. So that's all good.
Nice.
Yeah. And then Recapture has been going well. So I finished the cold email experiment. And I could say pretty definitively now after about 600-700 emails that cold email is a really fucking hard channel to crack.
It was easy, everybody do it, right?
Exactly. But I mean, but here's the thing that made me just sort of go, you know, this is not the time for me to do cold email. Let's say 700 emails roughly were sent out of varying flavors. I think I had 4 different messages that were out there. I tried various tones. I tried different lengths. I tried different styles in the email, and I tried, you know, going from a complex ask to a very simple ask, even with the simplest ask and pushing the most volume to it and having the most honed message, I still got zero people signing up to try the product out or even respond and say, hey, this is what I'm having the problem with. So clearly either I don't understand the audience well enough to craft a message that resonates with them, or the way that I'm going about that just isn't working at all. And, you know, cold email is not the right way to approach people for this particular kind of tool. Yeah, so I kind of had like a despair week where after I got all those results in, I was, you know, very sad and disappointed. And
cried in your oatmeal, right?
I cried. I think I cried in a beer or two. Yeah. but it made it a little bit tough because I wasn't sure where I wanted to go next with recapture. And, you know, I looked at a bunch of different things. So I still have a toolbox of ideas, and some of them I think I'm going to execute on at some point. But I kind of felt like I had to pick something right now that, you know, made the most sense in terms of success for customer acquisition. So one of the things I've been, you know, doing more is trying to interview new customers as they come on board and say, well, how did you hear about recapture? You know, the classic question, the onboarding question on SaaS, so that you can figure out where your customers are, what channels they're using, right? And what I found was, you know, I've got handfuls of people that are still just looking me up on organic search and saying, all right, I want to double down on this. And I don't rank particularly high. Like, I'm first page, but I'm like 9th or 10th result on the page. And there's so many damn ads these days. I mean, that basically puts you at the very bottom of the page at the 15th item or whatever it is. So it's not like I'm super high for those keywords. But the fact is that they persevered through 14 results to get all the way down to me, says maybe if I put some effort into this, I could, you know, boost some of that traffic and get better and more clients on that. So I went back through a variety of things, and I found a Startups for the Rest of Us episode that was talking about an SEO trick where you go after high volume, low competition keywords that aren't nearly as long tailish. They're less specific. And then try to write articles for those so that you rank really well and get on the first page, because with low competition, that's not that hard to get there.
Right.
And then from that, if the keyword has the right intentions, then you can basically convert some of that traffic into paid customers, but do it without all of the hassle of trying to take your high competition keywords out. Because those things are just going to drive you crazy trying to rank for if you don't already. So that's what I am attacking right now with the help of our good friend Brian Castle, who is now in the process of trying to craft some articles for me on e-commerce. And I will get those in the next couple of months. So it's not like a super fast thing. And even after that, I still have to do promotion to get them to rank. But I at least have that in process now, so that maybe by the time, you know, the e-commerce craze hits around October, I might start seeing some rank and some traffic out of this, right, and be able to take advantage of it right before the holiday season. So
I hadn't, it sort of is obvious, but I hadn't thought about the seasonality that you'll probably experience where people will, like you said, really get their stores ready for the holiday season, probably like October. I hadn't really thought about that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't really notice it last year because when I was in the process of buying recapture, it was like December-ish.
Yeah, you missed that bump, I'm sure.
I missed all the craze, but then when I was going back through and looking for articles and subscribing to blogs and stuff like that, I found tons and tons of articles about people that were talking about holiday promotions and here's the best way to do Black Friday sales and yada yada. All this stuff that would clearly already passed, but obviously people are trying to throw that out there because that's what e-commerce merchants are thinking about. So obviously if I'm going to start generating good content, those are things I need to think about too.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you pick the specific articles or topics that you're going to go after? I mean, not give like exact examples, but kind of what's the framework for deciding what to go after?
Well, so I went and did you know, I first started out with the Google Keyword Planner tool, which, by the way, is absolute and utter shit now. It's just absolutely fucking worthless. Mm-hmm. It's gone, like, it's slowly declined in utility over the years, but now I would say that it is just abject crap and should be completely avoided at all costs. There are a number of tools that are out there. I don't have the specifics because what I did is I Googled, keyword search volumes. And then all of a sudden, Google's tool appears at the top. But then the next five links are all tools that you can, either get a free trial on, or they're free to use, or they have a daily limit or something like that. So I just started using those over the course of a week. And I would go and I'd look up, and they're actually connected to Google's API. So somehow they're managing to get around these limits that Google places on the damn keyword planner tool. Anyway, so I went out and would get the same search volume and the competition and all of that information. And I'd basically just start experimenting. I'd throw in a keyword that I thought was good, and then I would say, show me related keywords. And then I would look through all of those related keywords, and I would then order it by competition and volume alternately, mm-hmm. so that I could find like the high volume, low competition ones. And then there's the Dave Collins trick of looking for the keyword performance indicator by taking the square of the volume divided by the competition, and that gives you like a number, and then you just rank everything by that number. And that tells you like what are the best keywords to go after, because they're basically the highest volume, lowest competition, that gives you the largest KPI.
Mm-hmm.
And, I made up a bunch of spreadsheets, and then I would look at the search results for like the first 10 items that would come back on some of these high volume, sort of vague keywords, right? And some of them were like complete and utter crap, where you're like, HTML email. No, I'm not going to be doing that.
Right. Well, they have to have intent too, right?
There has to be some kind of intent in there, whether it's like research, comparison, or trying to understand the brand, or trying to understand the space and is this the right solution? So you had to overlap that with some intent. And I think I found, probably about 10 of them that I would have attacked. But of those 10, I picked 5 that were the highest volume, so I'm going to probably get the most impact out of them. And the lowest competition, except for one of them, which I thought was like a better fit overall for my space.
Yeah.
So I took those out, and then, I said, all right, we need to make articles around these. And now we're going back and forth trying to decide, all right, well, what's the subject of that article? If this is the keyword you want to target, how do you want to talk about that in the article, and what's the article about? And so that's sort of very keyword specific, right?
Yep.
You have to decide, if you're talking about business management, well, what is it that your article is about? Could you talk about, well, what is business management? Or you could talk about business management styles, or you could talk about, whatever. It has to be something that relates to your business in some way, and it has to be something that kind of fits with that keyword. So I had to pick keywords that kind of overlapped in that Venn diagram right there.
Yeah. I think something else that's really important to think about with planning content like that is, what's the purpose of the article? So is the purpose of all these articles to just get customers, or for, like, if it's a listicle type article, is it for it to get shared a bunch and create like kind of virality and maybe more links back to your site? And there's not one answer for it. I think maybe a little bit of each is important as you're building the content kind of strategy, but that's something we started thinking about with Podcast Motor about a year ago, is kind of like, what's our purpose for writing this article? And so like, who's it for, and what kind of business objective does it have? And then kind of, how do we want this to be a resource for us longer term? Is it, mentionability or SEO or keywords or whatever? So not that you need more to think about, but I'm sure you thought about that as you're kind of crafting the exact thing that you're going to write about, is kind of what's the purpose for the article as a whole.
Yeah. In our case, the purpose is to build an email list so that I can start marketing to them.
Yeah. There you go. Cool.
And, just basically build up that, know, like, and trust factor over time. Right.
Yeah.
Because if they show up at an article and they don't really know me, then I can't get them to like or trust me. And until I've got that, I probably am not going to get them to sign up as a customer. So I need to start building that trust by giving them something of value. And then in exchange, they give me an email address, and then I can start sending them, ongoing articles, so we're going to start doing blog content. And then in the interim, while I'm waiting for the content to show up, I'm going to steal one of Ken Wallace's ideas, and I'm going to start doing like a curated content newsletter weekly.
So, right on.
Yeah, I've been stealing a bunch of e-commerce links for a long time now, so I've got a pretty decent list of content. And I'm not going to overwhelm people. I'm just going to send out like 5 links a week that I think are interesting with little blurbs. And just use that as a stopgap to basically keep what I have active, and then put my words and my site and my name in front of people on a regular basis, so they just start getting used to hearing from me. And eventually hope that, you know, if they get into a point where they're like, well, I really need an abandoned cart solution. Oh, yeah, that guy that sends me shit every week. Maybe I should sign up with him, right? Well, yep. That's how it works, right?
Because yeah. This front is exactly, man. Yeah.
So this is exactly how Stunning got me as a customer. I signed up for Richard Felix's list like, 18, 24 months ago. I was getting good content from him every single week, practically. Probably more often than that, I don't know. But they were all very high quality articles. So of course, as a result of that, and I knew Richard personally before that, but the content that was coming from his business made me, you know, it was clear that he really understood the business very well. And, you know, I knew of his reputation, but now I've read his content and I'm like, oh yeah, he's the guy I would want to go to. So as soon as I got a SaaS and I'm thinking, damn it, I really need to do my Dunning emails. Oh, Stunning. I'll just use them. Yep. You know, boom, yep. Right there. That's exactly how it happens. But I've been on his email list for a year and a half and, you know, he kept sending me content. So sometimes you have to be that patient.
Yeah. Yeah. So for just as a reference, Ken Wallace sends out Friday Dispatches. It's just a collection of articles about entrepreneurship and SaaS and this kind of lifestyle we live in. And he uses a product called Review to send those out. So we'll link those up in the show notes. But both definitely worth checking out. Yeah.
Yeah. And what's cool about Review is that, you know, it's not something that's super high touch to use. So if you use Pocket, so you just get an account, you can go to getpocket.com, and Pocket integrates directly into your browser, whether it's Firefox or Chrome. Like, it ships with it these days. And so you're on a site, you like it, you just click the Pocket icon, boom, it automatically gets saved to your Pocket account. And then if you connect your Pocket account to Review, Review shows you all of the things that you saved in Pocket. And so you can just sort of drag them over and say, here's one I want to put in the email. Type a little paragraph, boom, move to the next one. Do that 5 times, you've got yourself a newsletter. This is super, super easy. I was shocked at just how quickly I could get a curated newsletter out.
Yeah. That's very savvy. I like the idea of, like you said, in the interim between now and when you have the content of your own, to use curated content from other people. A lot of people, Heat and Shaw does this some as well. And I think it's a very savvy way to show your authority by sharing useful things that aren't just your own. I think it almost is better because you're being a little less like self-absorbed, right? Like, here's my great article, right? No, you're saying, hey, this is a great article. It came from someone else who may even be your competitor. But hey, I thought you'd really appreciate this. When I get those, I view them as a little more objective than something that comes from someone specifically. So
Yeah. That's been my read on the ones that I've been receiving from other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's clear that every single one of them always has like one link to their own stuff in there every single time. And that's okay because they've given me, you know, 5, 8, whatever other links to things that are useful. So that sort of content is still not bad. It's still not bad.
Yeah. Nice, man. Sounds like the ball's rolling. That's great.
Yeah, well, we've got the ball rolling again. Where it lands, I guess we'll find out. But we're back on the move again, so that's good.
Awesome.
So how are things with Podcast Motor? Seriously Simple Podcasting?
Man, things are moving and shaking, man. We got just a ton of shit going on. I'm juggling like a circus clown these days. It's really...
There's a visual I didn't need to have.
Yeah, right. With the nose and the big shoes and the tights and everything. Yeah, it's great. Podcast Motor is going great. We're getting more customers. The last 2 or 3 months, we've had kind of better months consecutively, which is great. We had a little dip just after the first of the year. So it's really good to be getting getting that revenue kind of back up to where it was, which is awesome. And, you know, it's like a tough time to have a dip when you're needing to spend money on developers. So it's nice to be kind of, you know, sitting a little cleaner now. But yeah, and I mean, we're also getting revenue from Seriously Simple Podcasting. So we're about a month into paying customers now, which is cool. So we have a 14-day trial for Seriously Simple Hosting. And we launched like the second full week of May. So we're about a month into paying customers now. And it's good, man. I mean, you know, it's my first time kind of seeing some of this stuff, and we're only a month into it, so a lot of the numbers don't make sense. But I have to say, and I'll knock on wood, literally, that I feel like we're solving a really important problem, because people are definitely signing up for it without a lot of effort from us. And the WordPress space is kind of to be credited for a lot of that. I mean, we're just in a place where people are looking for something that we provide. And it's kind of like an isolated space for all these people to be looking for something. So that makes it a little easier for us. But yeah, we're getting several new trial signups a day. And I just checked yesterday, we're converting at 68% trial to paid conversion. So whoa. I think that's pretty slick.
Yeah, dude. Hear that? Ching.
Yeah, ching. Right.
That's
right.
The cash machine going right there, man. No, that's great. That's awesome news. That's yeah. Awesome news.
Yeah, so it's cool. So it's, you know, it's, and so now it's a little bit of the thing that we've heard all these SaaS guys talk about is, okay, now that you're at kind of stasis, and we're not quite there, we're releasing an update to the plugin probably tomorrow. That's going to fix the last two bugs that we had, which is great. It makes me feel like a huge weight is coming off my shoulders. We've tested it. We've had some of our users test it. And like the two kind of issues that we had seem to have gone away, which is awesome. But now it's the real kind of learning of SaaS, I think, which is not, can you build a thing and get it in front of people? But like, how do you increase that trial to paid conversion? How do you get more people in the top of the funnel? Like if we're converting well, how do I get more people in the top of the funnel? How do we manage our support burden, because like we're migrating people's data over, and that's a pain. Right? I mean, there is an infinite number of ways you can have your podcast set up, and we're basically saying, just tell us how it is, and we'll take care of it for you. But I mean, we're getting a fair amount of customers for that, so I mean, it's kind of the Nathan Barry approach that he took with ConvertKit. Is he was like, I'll do free migrations for you, and he got a lot of customers that way. So we kind of borrowed that best practice, and it's working out really well. We're getting people signing up for our annual plan, which is a cool kind of cash injection, because it's, you know, it's a whole month of revenue up front. I mean, it's going to probably make us slow down a little bit in a couple months, but for now it's nice because we can continue some further development and stuff. But yeah, I'm definitely starting to think now that we're going to release this update to the plugin, to where I don't anticipate having another update of the plugin that we have to put out anytime soon. So if we have developers kind of here and ready to go, kind of where can we put development muscle? And then for me, finding a way to manage support a little better, so that I'm not spending as much time in support, and then so I can spend time marketing. So that's kind of the progression that I see over the next couple of months, is kind of getting those two things to go out. We actually posted a job posting for a part-time support person. So I'm actually hit you up and see if I can talk to Bobby. I don't know if she has any extra time, but
I'd certainly be willing to ask her. I know that she's loving this remote work thing. So she's been like on a 1 or 1.5 month trip in, or maybe it's 2 months. I forget exactly how long it's been. But she's been in Europe this whole time to go to visit her daughter who's in Amsterdam. Just had a baby, so it's her first grandkid. Awesome. Yeah, and she's been able to go there, hang out with her daughter, do work for me while she's on the road, and she's totally stoked about all of that. Like, she loves the fact that she's location independent and can just do her job from anywhere. Doesn't matter. Sign in whenever, get it done, go on to the next place. And she's been like bouncing all around Europe, and we'll be heading home here pretty soon. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. And I think, I mean, you're seeing now that because you're able to take yourself out of support mode, that you're able to kind of think bigger picture and as a business as a whole and where your priorities should lie. And I feel like for the first month or now 6 weeks or so, I've needed to be in there to respond really sort of, you know, urgently and promptly to our especially our paying customers when they have issues. But at this point, you know, we fixed some of the initial bugs we had. Everything that comes in is pretty well understood, even if we don't haven't seen exactly that thing before. We've seen something kind of similar, so I could write like, you know, SOPs and a big internal knowledge base for someone who comes in to do support, to where I feel like a person who even doesn't know a ton of WordPress maybe could come in and answer more than half of the emails we get, which would be great. And then, you know, kind of how to streamline that as we grow to where now we're getting 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 emails a day. What if it's 50? And what does that process look like? Because I don't want to get behind on that, because that's the thing that I think could sink us at this point, especially in the WordPress space where, you know, the ratings in the WordPress.org repo are kind of your value in life. So I want to make sure that that's staying, you know, as good as possible. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, scaling that support is going to be tough, I think. You know, you're already a service guy with the whole podcast motor thing, so I'm sure you'll be able to figure it out based on your experience there. But, yeah, just making sure that you can actually handle that incoming volume as you ramp up customers is definitely going to be a challenge, no doubt.
Yeah, because, I mean, I haven't even kind of put the foot on the pedal to get more customers, because I know right now I'm doing the support, and it's all I can do to do that and the other stuff every day and like have a life, right? I mean, it's summer, we're going to go on vacation, and I don't want to be stuck in front of the computer every day. The kids get out of school in 2 weeks. I want to be able to fuck off and go to the lake for the day if I want.
Damn straight.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we're doing all this, right? So, but yeah. So I guess the other thing that's kind of been going on is WordCamp Europe was last week. And yeah, it was great. It was great to be able to go and see, you know, a lot of the people that I know, you know, from WordPress. So Yoast was there, and I got to I met him at a WP Engine party that we went to. I got to hang out with one of our listeners, Peter Soom, so from Denmark. So he and I hung out. Yeah, so it was great. I mean, it's super cool. Obviously, you know, super cool to be able to meet podcast listeners. But also just a lot of kind of WordPress people that I know or know of. So yeah, it was good. I made some connections that I think, speaking of marketing, you know, Seriously Simple Podcasting, definitely have some conversations going or that I'll start that, could be pretty cool, you know, partnerships and marketing opportunities and things like that. So yeah, I'm starting to get my marketing hat on for Seriously Simple Podcasting, which is fun. I mean, if I have a strong suit, it's where my strong suit is. So it's fun to be able to start thinking about that and really kind of scaling our revenue. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you something, because this news came out, I think, on one of our off podcast weeks here, but what did you guys think of, when Apple announced that they were doing all of this podcast statistics of everything that's in iTunes? Were you guys like cheering that they just validated a market need, or you guys filling your drawers, or both?
Yeah. So a little backstory for people who hadn't heard. So at WWDC, I got the acronym right. That's the big Apple annual, yep, kind of. So at WWDC this year, they announced at their podcast kind of workshop that they are going to start releasing aggregated, anonymized listening statistics for podcasts only on the native iOS app. So it's not all of iTunes. It's only on native iOS app. So as a whole, I would say most podcasts, and it depends on audience and genre and stuff like that, most podcasts probably see 50 to 70% of their total listens occur on the native iOS app. And what they're going to do is say, okay, you know, probably like, when did they listen and for how long did they listen? Something like that. Probably just how long they listened for each episode. And I don't know where, like, we as podcast owners would be able to view that information. It's probably inside iTunes Connect, which is the place where you go to submit your podcast and kind of manage where your feed is and everything. But from a business perspective, I think it definitely validates the need to get more data about your podcast. I think what will be obviously super interesting is not a little bit for us as content creators and owners of a podcast. They help me, you know, how long are people listening to Craig and Dave, you know, go on about their businesses, but really in the advertising space is where it's really going to make hay, I think, is so far advertisers have been understandably a little gun shy to come in and say, okay, yeah, we'll pay, you know, whatever, $100 or $1,000 per 1,000 downloads in the first 6 weeks without having any fucking idea if people are actually listening to those episodes, right? Because
right. How are you going to measure that stuff? How do you even know how much to charge the advertiser if you can't even measure impressions, you know? Well,
but it's not even did somebody listen? It's did somebody get to 22 minutes where their ad was, right?
Sure, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. If I've got an ad and it's halfway through the podcast and everybody quits after the first 5 minutes, how do I even know that my ad is being heard at all? Like, that information just simply isn't there. So yeah, I can understand that. I wouldn't want to pay for that kind of advertising unless I knew it was mentioned like 16 times in the podcast. And then that just annoys the shit out of the listeners. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the podcasting market is, I think, definitely validated how this affects big sponsors from coming in. We'll see. I would think that the more data these big sponsors have, the more comfortable they'll feel with the investment. And for us, I mean, as Podcast Motor, we're continuing to see just more and more companies coming into the fray. I mean, we haven't taken up a hobbyist as a customer in this year, you know? And it's not like we have hundreds of new customers every month or anything, but we have a couple, and they're all like legit funded startups or sort of like big businesses.
More serious.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we definitely have handfuls of people like you and me, but we definitely at this point have more people who are real businesses. And for us, I mean, you can appreciate this. It makes almost everything easier. You know, they understand what processes and expectations and timing and price, it all is a little more straightforward versus someone who, you know, this is a hobby. And for you and me, this is a bit of an investment professionally, but it's also a bit of a hobby. And so I think you and I would be a little more price sensitive than, you know, someone who has a business that does $10 million a year or something.
Sure. Yeah. So, makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, man, you know, things overall are going good. I'm definitely working a lot these days, but hoping to kind of get things, you know, ironed out and evened out to where when we go on our trip starting the middle of July, I can really take some time and not work a lot. There's nothing worse than working a ton on vacation. So that's the onus for putting in the hours now.
Right. Well, I'll let you know what that's like, because I haven't had a vacation where I haven't had to work yet. But now that Bobby's fully engaged here, like, I'm hoping I can get it down to like maybe just a 1 half-hour check-in every couple of days or something like that, just to make sure the whole place isn't burning to the ground. But, you know, it's not like right now when I go on vacation, it's at least an hour a day where I'm just going and checking and answering emails. But we're getting to a point where I just don't need to do that anymore. So if you're listening, Bobby, I love you. You're amazing. Woo!
That's awesome.
Thank you for saving my life.
That's awesome, man. Nice. Nice. Well, I think that wraps us up for this week. What do you think?
I think so. So if you are out there and have a question for us or a subject that you'd like us to talk about, why don't you send us an email to podcast@roguestartups.com, and we'd be happy to address it on the show. If you're liking what you hear, leave us a review in iTunes. The link will be down in the show notes. Have a great week. We'll talk to you later.
And that's our episode for this week. If you have any questions or comments, please let us know at podcast@roguestartups.com. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Rogue Startups. And be sure to visit roguestartups.com for full show notes on each episode. If you're enjoying the show, we'd sure appreciate a review in iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.